Well, thank you, everybody, and appreciate the opportunity to be able to hold forth God's Word today. The title of my teaching is Believing That God Is. And if you want to go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, we'll get to there in just a little bit. This teaching is born on the heels of some of the very, very unique things that Joy and I have been participating in the past couple of months. And one of them, namely, is to have been able to meet and hold forth the word to a young lady from Hanoi that was raised in communism and Buddhism and is just getting her first real experience of what life is like in our culture here and what Christianity is from our viewpoint, the way that we live as believers in Richardson Biblical Research Center. And it's been very unique and amazing. One of the amazing things is that it's the same needs, no matter where you're at, the same needs are in people's lives. The unique aspect of that is that the needs arise without words being spoken. The words to help minister to those needs are not there because of not understanding the in-depth part of the language. It's one thing talking about the weather and saying what your name is. You know, Toi La Joe Brown, that's in Vietnamese. My name is Joe. But the need is still there to express and to get God's word out. And on one side, it's a real comfort to know that the same needs are there, which as we get into the word, you'll see them. And then on the other side, it's a tremendous hindrance to not be able to speak the deep things that are necessary. And I think we all find that as we learn other languages and get involved with other cultures. And so what do you do? What's the fix? Well, we have some great things out there that you can take and get a fairly good translation from some of the translators that are online. And I have been making use of those. The prerequisite is that you need to be able to work the word and get it put in English first. Well, thank God for that, because we're supposed to search the scriptures daily. We're supposed to put on God's word. And if and when we do that and we put it down on a piece of paper, then we can translate it and give it to somebody. And just let God start the work. And it's absolutely amazing. When Jerry and I spoke the other day, he said, yep, you got to step outside the nine dots, because that's how we're moving God's word right now. That's a great part of it, along with everything else that we do. The first saying is the title of the teaching, Believing That God Is. Because it doesn't matter when and wherever somebody enters our lives to want to know the deeper things of life, it happens. And how do we respond? What do we do? Because God will always provide the answers. He always will provide the answers. And no matter how it's expressed, you know that one of the greatest needs in a person's life, one of the greatest quest in a person's life is to have peace with God. It doesn't matter what border, what country, where it's at. Because God made of one blood all men to dwell on the face of the earth, and all men have the same needs. They need to know God, and they need peace. And so as we're out there holding forth God's word, we run into that. And when it's English to English, or if you know another language, and other than your native tongue, it's that language to the other language, that you can help address those type of things. And it's the greatest privilege to be able to communicate God's word, the greatest pleasure to be able to communicate God's word and see hope and anticipation arise. And so as we interact in the grassroots of humanity, as we interact with other people, we have a a great responsibility, and it's to choose to live according to God's word. It's to choose to walk according to God's word, and it's to choose to speak that word. And so if and when we run up against a hindrance, well, what's the fix? Well, what I say to that, figure it out. Figure it out. Let God work in your heart and life, but get that word held forth. And when I went to, Lowe's, the home improvement place, the other day, after studying very deeply the Vietnamese language for 3 solid weeks with Saturday classes, I went to Lowe's, and in the garden department, there was a little lady standing there looking at the plants, and I knew she was wondering if they were, those particular vegetable plants were on sale like the sign said. So I knew she was having a little trouble reading. And so I walked up to her, and she looked like she was Vietnamese. And I said, Chào Bon, and then Toi La Joe Brown. I said, hello, my name is Joe Brown. And then her face just lit up. She was stunned. She almost fell down, realizing that an American was trying to speak her native tongue. And I just went out on a limb because I was really concerned. I mean, am I going to screw this up? I don't know. But I am learning. I'm learning from one of the best, our friend from Hanoi. And I said, I'm just going to try it. And I did. And it opened up doors. When you speak God's word, it opens up doors. And I'll tell you what, when you speak God's word in another language, you ought to see the doors that are going to open up. And I think that, too many times that we forget that learning is an exciting adventure, and we sit there and ruminate, speculate, and let things run around in our head endlessly. All the what's ifs of life, which they actually were addressed very well in the manifestations today. We sit there and ruminate and we speculate. But why not learn, put it on, and do? That's the heart behind what I want to share today. It is up to us to do so. Because when hearts turn to God with great expectancy and anticipation, and they begin to learn, then their hope arises. What's the number one thing in Hebrews chapter 11 that needs to be learned? And if you look at it, which I did, from a point of view, from a communistic country, from a Buddhist type environment, what's the first thing that somebody needs to learn? Well, it's the same thing as here. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. We must believe that God is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, want to say it another way? It is possible to believe that God is. Those that come to God must believe that He is, that He exists. And if you've ever gone hiking, you know where the trail starts. You park your car. That's called the trailhead. It's the start of a trail, because there may be 3 or 4 pathways going off there all over the place. The trailhead. The trailhead of starting points on the greatest pathway in life is to believe that God exists. They must believe. And this trailhead is where today's pathway begins. Here at the trailhead, the most incredible promise also exists. Well, what promise is that? It says there, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Well, let's turn that around. With faith, it is possible. At the trailhead of life, at the very first time that one learns that God exists, that other greatest need in life gets met, it is possible to please God. That it is possible to please God. What an incredible occurrence at the trailhead of a spiritual pathway. Romans chapter 12. We must believe that God exists. And it is possible to please Him with, says one thing, says faith. Probably one of the most botched words in the New Testament. But we'll straighten that out a little bit. This is not a teaching on faith, but it has to have it in there. Romans chapter 12. Faith allows the impossible. Verse 2 and 3 of Romans chapter 12. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God divided to every man the measure of faith. Well, every single person on the face of this earth has received the measure of faith. God Himself divided it. He separated the heavenly substance called faith and gave a portion to every living person. It is this God-given portion of faith that provides the potential, the starting point at the trailhead pathway whereby he or she may be pleasing to God and please God. Through the renewed mind process, one who believes that he or she is pleasing to God will become a transformed person. They go hand in hand. One who believes that he or she is pleasing to God will transform from the caterpillar to the butterfly. The transformation process to believe that God exists and to believe that it's available to be pleasing to God. To get out of the worm-like state. Wretched, worm-like state. And to rise up on the wings of faith to be pleasing to God. This announcement is made at the trailhead of Christianity. The trailhead of salvation. The onset of walking the pathway of life itself with God. The availability. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. To mix faith is the individual's responsibility. We've looked at, we must believe that God is. And that with faith it is possible to please Him. We've looked at, faith allows the impossible. And it's by thinking soberly, because sober thinking is thinking the impossible. Sober thinking is thinking God's Word. We'll get into that in a minute, but I read it in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. But here in Hebrews chapter 3, I'd like to start in verse 19. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. We're talking about walking through some doors here. We're talking about walking on the pathway. We're talking about starting at the trailhead and moving forward. They could not enter in. Unbelief causes one to stand at the door, to stand at the trailhead, and not do anything, and not go receive all the wonder, the wonders, the benefits of it. It causes one to not walk up to God's prepared table in the presence of our enemies. That's what it does. Unbelief does that. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Be it the unbelief of a person or of a whole country due to whatever type of teaching is happening. Verse 1 of chapter 4, let us therefore fear or respect, lest a promise being left us of entering into his, entering into his rest, any should seem to come short of it. Any should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Verse 2 of chapter 4. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. This is huge. To mix faith is the individual's responsibility. The life within cries out, I want to be changed into the butterfly. I want to see the transformation in my life. I see what God's word says. I read it. I quote it. I put it up on the bathroom mirror. I want to be changed into the butterfly. I don't want to come up short. I want to see God's word realized in my life. I don't want to come up short as I'm going through my day, seeming to come up short. And we all have days like that. I don't want to come up short as I await the gathering together. That's a great fear. Not among us. We know the gathering together is going to happen, and we know that we're going to be gathered together. But there are those out there that don't have that same belief. They feel like they come up short. They feel like they're not worthy. They feel like the worm. They don't feel like they're pleasing in God's sight. And at the trailhead of Christianity, that stands, or that truth stands on the biggest billboard that is available to see. And yet the opposite many times is taught. In this life, rest, belief or unbelief, promises made by God, promises made and broken by people, words spoken, don't these all make a great impact in our life? It happens all the time. We're around these things all the time. It causes life to get frantic sometimes, or it just gets so busy. It's like a ping pong ball. Have you ever played ping pong and you hit that little white ball at the table and it goes off and it starts bouncing around the room? Well, that's how unsound thoughts are. Those are not sober thoughts. The mind is just bouncing around with thoughts. And these cause life to be like that. They can cause life to be like the ping pong ball, where you can't do enough. You're always trying to do more. You just wonder if you did enough, and that if you only could do a little more, then things would be better. This is not godly rest. Godly rest, it was done from the foundation of the world. Godly rest comes into manifestation to the degree that the individual's measure of faith, remember, God gave every person on the face of this earth, He divided it out, He gave them that heavenly substance, a measure of it. It's because that measure of faith, it needs to be mixed together with the preached gospel. That's what needs to happen. Godly rest comes into manifestation to the degree that the individual's measure of faith is mixed together with the preached gospel. Now, there's more involved. I haven't shared about the faith of Jesus Christ yet. Hang in with me. Okay? Any coming up short, where it seems like you're coming up short, is not because of God not having done His part. If anything gets voiced from the word taught today, it's that God has done His part. He finished His part from the foundation of the world. Frantic thoughts, frantic life, frantic worry-filled thoughts. And if you don't like the word frantic, you can say busy or preocupado or whatever, worried or whatever you want to say. It may be time to look in the mirror. Has God really finished His work? Is rest available? It is the doorway open to enter. It's unbelief that stops it, that causes one to stand at the trailhead and not walk forward through it, understanding they can have rest and that they have the peace of God. So it may be time to look in the mirror. Well, during the sufferings of life that we endure, you know that we can endure them because God's word is not bound. It's limitless. No matter what we go through, no matter what we suffer, no matter what tribulation comes at us, because God's word is not bound, we can endure, and we have endured, and we continue to endure, and we get through, and we move ahead. We get to the other side. We walk on the pathway. Do you know what the other side is for us? It's the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gathering together. We can look at it a little more narrowly minded if we want and think it's today's events or that phone call we just got or that whatever somebody did. Who cares? I'm not going to be afraid. What shall man do unto us? Nothing. Job chapter 14. And this was in, I believe it's in the latest Ardios, the May Ardios. If you've read it, you'll remember this verse. Job chapter 14. Because it's the individual's responsibility. And I need to share with you about that. It's not only our responsibility to choose to think the way that we do, it's our responsibility to actually walk in that rest. And Job captioned it well from the Old Testament viewpoint. Job chapter 14 and verse 14. Job chapter 14 and verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. So that's why I brought up these two points to whatever we're going through in life. We need to wait it out. We need to endure. And we realize if you look in the rearview mirror that we have endured through everything we've gone through. And so whatever comes up, we're going to endure through. Why? Because God's word is not bound. That's a whole teaching in and of itself. God's word is not bound. It's limitless. It was in the manifestations, God's omnipresence, His omnipotence, His omniscience. He is infinity described. He's eternity emboldened. He's life itself. He is not bound. He is not bound. I will wait then till my change come. We tell ourselves, we'll wait for the gathering together. But like Jaylene so appropriately says, I'd like it to happen today. We would, but we're going to wait. Well, do we wait patiently for the things we go through in life, or are we the frantic ping pong ball of speculating thoughts, of activities that maybe just ought to un-Martha-ize? Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about with much serving. Maybe we ought to think about that. It's a looking in the mirror kind of thing, because there are things that I'm very specifically addressing in this teaching that are up to us. God's already done His part. And if there's one point that we leave with today, that is knowing that He's done everything. There's nothing more we're waiting on from God. God's rest is a vital and necessary ingredient for waiting till our changing, our arising comes. God's rest is vital. That's why so many walk away. Do not believe in the hope of the return. Don't even talk about it. It's the greatest thing that we could ever have to look forward to because it ends this earthly pathway. We started at a trailhead and we finally don't have to walk that way anymore because we'll have new bodies. We'll be gone. We're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, in the clouds, together. We're going to be forever with our Lord. And nobody talks about it? Oh my gosh. God's rest. It's because they haven't entered into the doorway because of unbelief. God's rest is necessary and a vital ingredient for waiting. Not for just the change coming, where our vital bodies will be fashioned like unto His glorious body, but it's waiting and enduring through what we go through in life, because we will get through it. So much so that we can walk up to the table that God's prepared for us right now. Well, God's peace is restful. It's the heart cry of every person on the face of this earth to have peace with God. God's peace, it has no unbelief. Unbelief makes one seem that they will never attain to it. Unbelief causes one to think that one will never attain to the things of God. Specifically here, God's peace. Well, what happened? What happened? What caused that? It's because the faith, the measure of faith that God gave the individual is being mixed with something that is not what God's Word says. And that person can take and unmix that by attaching it to God's Word. And it comes alive and it profits. Unbelief is at the root of coming up short, especially of coming up short of peace. Because we've seen here that God's peace is attainable. The measure of faith provided to every person, it allows the sober thinking. It allows the Romans chapter 12 way of thinking. And the Romans chapter 12 way of thinking involves mixing one's faith with it. And then it comes alive. And then from the caterpillar worm to the butterfly happens. There's a transformation that happens on the very pathway we're walking on in this life right now. Now, we know that. I'm speaking to the crier, speaking to the choir, but it's still true, isn't it? It's still the greatest thing. And so when we're ping pong ball around, just remember that. Where's the rest? Comes from thinking soberly. Thinking soberly is thinking that God is. It's thinking that God exists. Thinking soberly is thinking that the impossible is possible. Pleasing God then becomes possible. Understanding that it's up to self, you know, me, myself. It's up to self to do some learning of the word preached and then some mixing of one's own measure of faith. This is the trailhead. This is the starting point to changing from the caterpillar into the butterfly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. To mix faith is the individual's responsibility. We take and we learn that word. We learn that word. We put it on. And we mix our faith with it. We act on it. We do it. And it starts that transforming process. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God is faithful. God is. They must believe that God is. You can put the word exist there. But that's really limited to God. He is faithful. His nature is this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'd like to start in verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift. That's real similar to that coming up short. Come behind in no gift. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought about gifts of healing, but it's way bigger than that. What we receive from God is a gift. God gifts us all the time. We can never do anything to earn God's grace and the gifts. And I think about the different things that we need in our lives and how that God gifts us with everything that He is so that we never come behind. We never come up short. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're on the pathway. We start at the trailhead, we're on the pathway, and we are patiently waiting, right? We're patiently waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. God is full of faith. God can only give that which he is. God gives faith. Faith is a heavenly substance. God's faith stands at the trailhead of our lives. It's what Jesus Christ believed in. And we have received the faith of Jesus Christ. The mixing of our faith with the words of God's word allows our life's pathway to be enriched, to be built up, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to be healed, to be made wise, and so much more. The mixing of our original God-given measure of faith given to every person, it allowed us to mix it with God's word. God gave us his word. He gave us faith. He goes, you do this part. I gave you two things. I gave you faith. I gave you a measure of it. I'm giving you my word. Mix these two together and you're going to see what happens. It's going to explode. It's going to come into the most beautiful existence. The mixing of our original God-given measure of faith given to every person, it allowed us to mix it with God's word in believing. Then, after that, we receive the faith of Jesus Christ. First, it was coming up short, always seeming to come up short. Well, we need the faith of Jesus Christ to really get it lined up. And that comes with salvation. The faith of Jesus Christ bridges the gap between God and man. Our own faith, in the natural man state, the measure of faith that God originally gave could not bridge any kind of gap whatsoever. It is designed to be mixed with God's word, and then it comes alive and God brings his word to pass. That bridges the gap through Jesus Christ's accomplishments. So now coming up behind in any kind of gift, as we wait to return, is fixed. It's literally fixed. We may seem like it's happening. We just endure through it because it will come to pass. In light of God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faith. God can only get that which he is. God gives faith. Faith is a heavenly substance. God is true. God can only give that which he is. God gives truth. Truth is a heavenly substance. God is true holiness. God can only give that which he is. God gives true holiness. True holiness is a heavenly substance. God is able. God can only give that which he is. God gives his abilities. God's abilities are a heavenly substance. God is peace. God can only give that which he is. God gives his peace. Peace is a heavenly substance. God is forever. God can only give that which he is. God gives us forever. Forever is a heavenly substance. God is quick. He's alive. God can only give that which he is. God gives us his quickness, his life. Life is a heavenly substance. God is a consuming fire. God can only give that which he is. God gives us his consuming fire. We saw it on the day of Pentecost. It burned up from the inside out. Man's sins, man's inadequacies, man's shortcomings. It cleaned him up, made him presentable in the presence of God. signifying the acceptance of Jesus Christ's sacrifice of his own life. He accepted it, an offering once and for all. And we walk in that acceptance. How could we not have peace and rest? How could we not have it? God has done everything. God is well pleased. God can only give that which he is. God gives us his well pleasing. His well pleasing is a heavenly substance. He is well pleased. God is light. God can only give that which he is. God gives us his light. His light is a heavenly substance. God is greater than our heart. God can only give that which he is. God gives us greater than our heart. His greater than our heart is a heavenly substance, and it truly is greater than our heart. And if our heart condemn us, it's a lying to us, because God is greater than our heart. God knoweth all things. God can only give that which he is. God gives us knowledge of his all things. His knowing is a heavenly substance. God is agape. God can only give that which he is. God gives us his agape. His agape is a heavenly substance. And all these things that I share with you are but a microcosm of who God is. I will not try to define God. I will say some of the characteristics and things that he is, and that he expects us to behave accordingly. He expects us to have this behavior. Our badge of courage is, and our Christian badges, all of these things, it's how we are. It's who we are, because he gave them to us. It's a gift. We have not come up short. We have not come behind in a gift. God's already done it from the foundations of the heaven and the earth. And had the God of this world known it, he would not have crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. And what we have available to us, it's all been done. We do have a choice, and it's to walk, to act, to think, to put on, and to live accordingly. It may be time to look in the mirror. Because if you've got the ping pong ball thing going on, it's definitely time to look in the mirror, but it's actually time to look into the Word. That's actually way better. Look into the Word. Learn the Word. Put it on and act accordingly. First, we're at the trailhead. Now we're continuing on our pathway as we await the gathering together. And no matter where we are on life's pathway, like I said earlier, when somebody enters and desires to know spiritual things, God has provided the answers. Believing that God exists, being pleasing to God, understanding our amazing responsibility to choose God's Word and to mix one's own measure of faith with it is the starting point. And how exciting life becomes when hearts turn to God with great expectancy and anticipation. How exciting to learn the many aspects of how God is, that God exists, that he is. How exciting it is to learn that being pleasing to God is not impossible, and that it should begin at the trailhead of our spiritual pathway in life. And thank you for allowing me to explain a little bit of this to you. God bless.